Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
Dave Zancaro joins us. Dave, how have you been?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. So here, the NFL, Dave, is finally here. Camp is open. I mean, it's almost like it's spring for football. It's renewal time.
Yeah, it is. It's exciting. It's not quite the way like everyone remembers training camp, but it's still exciting. And there's a lot to be excited about in Philly right now. This team has a lot going for it, and there's no reason to think it shouldn't be another big year.
All right, so let's start with the running back spot, because Miles Sanders was the key guy in the running game. Mixed in by Gainwell, who did a good job. Mixed in by Boston Scott, who did a good job. Where do you think DeAndre Swift fits in all of this as Sanders now goes to Carolina?
Yeah, it's probably one of the most pressing questions at training camp this summer is exactly what it's going to look like. It'll be some sort of rotation. They haven't been shy about that. But how will it all break down? And we're starting to get some clues, because you have DeAndre Swift, you have Kenny Gainwell, and you have Rashad Penny. Those are going to be the top three guys. And then Boston right. Scott is still a nice option. You know, if there's an injury, he's a good guy to keep around.
Or if you're playing the Giants.
Yeah, and they're still on the schedule twice a year, so you haven't crushed those games.
He crushes the Giants.
Yeah, he absolutely does. So you have really those top three guys, Swift, Penny, and Gainwell. I think if you had to say who's going to have the most touches at the end of the year, it probably really does come down to Swift or Gainwell. And that's not a shot at Rashad Penny, but it's just really hard to go into a season relying on him, given his injury history. Now, if he looks healthy, maybe he can be that guy, because he's certainly been productive in his career. But for as productive as he's been, he hasn't really stayed on the field. So a lot of people think it's going to come down to Swift or Gainwell. And if the first few practices of training camp are any indication, Swift's going to catch the ball out of the backfield quite a bit. It's something that the Eagles haven't really done in the 2 years under Nick Sirianni. It's kind of the missing element of this offense. And you have DeAndre Swift, who's caught over 150 passes in his career. So he's one of the best in the league at catching the ball out of the backfield. So I think that's going to be his primary role. And I'm really curious to see exactly how they integrate it into the offense.
This is also a year with two new coordinators. What's your thought on that and the adjustment that the coordinators make to the personnel and the personnel to the coordinators?
Sure. I'll start on offense, losing Shane Steichen. It's a big loss. He did a really nice job, and especially last year and really in the 2 years he was here. But they have continuity on that side of the ball, because it's still Nick Sirianni's offense. And I think, you know, once we found out that Shane Steichen was the play caller and he did a great job at calling the plays, I think a lot of people underestimated the influence Sirianni had on his own offense, because so much of the game planning element happens obviously throughout the week, and it's the stuff we don't see, right? We just see the game on Sunday and there's Steichen calling in the plays, but Sirianni is a huge part of game planning, and he still is going into this year. The only question we have about Brian Johnson, who, look, he would have been a coordinator somewhere if the Eagles weren't able to promote him, so I think he's earned this promotion on merit. The only question we have about him is one that we really can't answer until they start playing games that matter, and then that's, does he have the same feel as a play caller that Steichen did? And, you know, Sirianni's kind of downplayed the importance of play caller, saying that, you know, that they go through situational football, and a lot of the times him and Steichen were on the same page, but there's a reason he handed over the reins to Steichen in the middle of that first season. It's because Shane was very good at it. And Brian Johnson did a little bit of it at Florida, but until we see him do it at the NFL level, it's going to be an unknown. And then on defense, Sean Desai comes in. I think in terms of the scheme and what the defense is going to look like, I think it's going to be pretty similar, honestly, to a lot of what Jonathan Gannon did, especially last year, you know, the 2022 version of the defense. I think the hope from Eagles fans is that it's a little more aggressive, and that doesn't mean loading up zero blitzes all the time. That's not going to happen. And honestly, if Gannon did that last year, it would have been foolish because they got 70 sacks without doing it. But you know, aggressive with coverages, I think will matter. And so I don't think, like, obviously the terminology is different and the players have to learn all that, but I don't think the product on the field is going to look completely unrecognizable changing from one coordinator to the other. The hope there from Eagles fans is just a little more aggressive.
What's the next step for Jalen Hurts? Where does he have to be better now to move this forward? I know there are a lot of Eagles fans who, you know, wear their green all the time and think he's become the perfect quarterback, but he's not. He has some deficiencies. So where does he need to be better to then step to the next level?
Yeah, look, he wasn't a perfect quarterback last year, and he was still the runner-up for the MVP award. So it's funny that he's not going to jump the same level that he did from year two to year three. There's just not that much room there to make that kind of a jump. But I think, obviously, as a passer, there's still some room for growth. And that's not to say you take away the running ability. They're still going to run with him this year. I know there have been some questions about how they're going to use him after signing into this big deal. Maybe they'll lighten the load a little bit in terms of running the ball, but I really still think that's going to be a huge part of this offense, and they've kind of shown that already early in training camp. But there's still more steps to take in this offense, and it's his third year in the offense, and it can take up to like 5 years for a quarterback to really master a system, and that's any quarterback. So just getting another year in this offense after not having back-to-back years in an offense for his entire career, basically going back to high school, I think that matters a lot. And it's year two with A.J. Brown. It's year three with Devontae Smith. It's another year with Dallas Goedert. That's the nice thing on offense is the continuity there. They bring back 9 of 11 starters from the Super Bowl team, and they're in a pretty good spot on that side of the ball.
All right, what do you think Jordan Davis has to do to actually become an important part of the defense?
Yeah, it's a good question. A lot of eyes are on Jordan Davis this year. It was a shame when he got hurt last year because I think we were starting to finally see him put it together. Really, even in that Pittsburgh game where he suffered the high ankle sprain, it was our first time seeing him in a four-man front. And then, of course, he gets hurt in that game. And I don't really know if he ever recovered from that. He came back and played, but it wasn't the same. He looks healthier this year. He's still weighing around the same 340, 345. The team's kind of been raving about his conditioning. It's kind of a unique situation because he needs to be an elite run defender. But ultimately, you're going to judge his ceiling on what can he be as a pass rusher. And I just don't think it's realistic to think that all of a sudden this year he's going to be this big, like, sack guy. And a lot of that's going to come down to opportunity because, you know, when they get into clear pass situations,
they'll take him out.
He's probably not going to be on the field because they're kind of stacked there. They have Fletcher Cox. They drafted Jalen Carter. They have Milton Williams, who kind of gets forgotten in the shuffle, but he's been a really nice player for them. So, you know, it's tough to see him just taking a big jump as a pass rusher. So in the short term, I think he needs to just be an elite run defender. He needs to take double teams. And it can take a long time for defensive tackles to really shine in the NFL. So I think we have to kind of pump the brakes on all the excitement about Jordan Davis. But I know the team is feeling pretty good about his progress.
Well, you brought up the name Jalen Carter, Dave, and I'm glad you did. We know off the field he's still facing trouble, including being named in a lawsuit. What do you see in Jalen Carter, the football player, and where he can fit with what Philadelphia does?
He's already flashing, and it's you don't want to get carried away. They haven't even put the pads on in training camp, but the way he moves is different. It just is. He's an explosive player, and just about every practice so far, there's been a moment or two where you go, oh, that's why they drafted this kid, and that's why some people think he might be the most talented player from this class. Look, like I mentioned with defensive tackles, it can take a few years for them to really shine in the NFL. We've seen that right. time and time again. It's been a long time. He said the other day his goal, or one of his goals, is to win Rookie of the Year, and a defensive tackle hasn't won it since Aaron Donald in 2014. So it's hard to do. But he's really talented, and I think he's in a really good spot because this line is stacked. I mean, it's not like a team can focus on him when he's next to Fletcher Cox, Jordan Davis, Hassan Reddick, Josh Sweat, Brandon Graham, his Georgia teammate Nolan Smith. I mean, he's one part of a really deep defensive line. So he's going to have some opportunity this year, and I think he's going to have a chance to get after the quarterback, and I don't know if that's going to I don't know if we're going to magically see a 10-sack season from a rookie tackle, but I think he has the chance to really splash it as a rookie.
Dave, I have to ask you, you talked about the way training camp is now, and I think you subtly, in a sentence early in our discussion, summed up the way the NFL is today with the collective bargaining agreement. The number of days with pads and the hitting is limited and so forth. Do you have a different view of the opening month of the season now compared to maybe 5 years ago because of the limited amount of hitting in the preseason?
In terms of just the level of play, you mean?
In terms of the level of play. It almost feels like we're watching a step above preseason games, and then I feel like when we get to October, we're really seeing now teams finally playing at their best
level. Yeah, I mean, you're right. There are some stinkers in the beginning of the season. There's no way around it. But I think we saw the Eagles do it last year. And, you know, CBA aside, the Eagles take it to new levels, making sure their guys are healthy. They didn't even have a mandatory mini camp for the last 2 years. They're really light in the spring. This training camp schedule, they really have just a couple of times where they're back-to-back days with a practice. It's a lot of guys off their feet. They want to have walkthroughs. It's a lot of mental game. And, sometimes you'll see struggles from teams early in the season, but the Eagles last year, they had 22 of 22 starters in the Super Bowl. And it's not all – some of that's just good luck. You know, if a guy's going to break a bone or have a major injury, there's not really too much you could do to prevent that. But they were so good last year at preventing soft tissue injuries, and a lot of it comes down to their sports science department and trying to be really smart and use the data they have, and they take it to new levels, and they do things that other teams don't do, and I think they're really kind of feeling vindicated, especially after the way last year went.
Yeah, no, and that's and believe me, I'm out there every day at Penn State football training camp. I can tell you how dramatically different it is now compared to 20 years ago. Because, look, I think there's a smart way to do it. And I know that, and that's part of what we see in September. Because you got to remember, both teams are doing it close to the same way in the preseason anyway. So it's still going to be competitive, because they're playing by the same rules. But at the same time, I see enough rust in September from everybody. How about that?
Yeah, I think that's undeniable, honestly. And it doesn't mean there aren't good games early. Like, sometimes you'll get a game where you're like, oh, they just look fine. Eagles last year opened the season. They looked great. But then there were some rust that we saw eventually. But I think it's just kind of the way things have gone. And I don't think it's going back. I mean, it's the way the CBA is and the way you see teams really protecting their players. It makes sense. And honestly, the Eagles are seeing it not just like in a one-year span, but they might be extending the careers of some of their best players. Like, I don't know if Jason Kelce would be around right now if they weren't handling practices and taking care of their bodies the way they have.
No, I agree with you. It's a great point, Dave. Hey, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your time and your insights. Really appreciated.
Absolutely. Take care.